Now the Assembly will hear a statement by His Excellency Narendra Modi, Prime Minister of the Republic of India. May I request protocol to escort His Excellency? I have great pleasure in welcoming the Prime Minister of the Republic of India, His Excellency Narendra Modi, and I invite him to address the Assembly. Mr. Prime Minister.
Honourable Mr. President and Sam Qureshi, Under Secretary General Mr. Getu, distinguished delegates and friends. First of all, I would like to congratulate you on your election as the President of the 69th session of United Nations General Assembly. It is the first time that I am addressing all of you as the first time as a Prime Minister of India, and it's a matter of great honor for me. I am humbled by the hopes and expectations of the people of India. Similarly, I'm also very well aware that in the world, what are the expectations from 1.25 billion people? India is a country where one-sixth of the world population lives. India is going through such comprehensive economic and social changes, which is rare to be seen in the history of the world. Every country's view is shaped by its civilization and by its philosophical tradition. India's ancient wisdom sees the entire world as a family. And when I say this, I make it clear that each country has its own philosophy. I'm not talking about ideology. And with the inspiration of that philosophy, a country marches ahead. India is a country that, since its Vedic times, has been saying that world, entire globe, is a family. India is a country where, besides nature, we have a communication, a dialogue with the nature. We never struggle with the nature. This is a part of India's living. And the reason is that under that philosophy, India has been moving forward. Each country, each nation is shaped by its civilization and its philosophical tradition. India's ancient wisdom sees, as I said before, sees the world as one family. India is a country that not only raises voice for itself, but for the worldwide justice, dignity, opportunity, and prosperity. We have always been raising our voice in the favor of these things. Due to our ideology, we have a firm belief in multilateralism. Today, as I stand here, I am equally aware of the hopes and expectations that are pinned on the General Assembly. The sacred belief that brought us together, I am very impressed by that. On the basis of great principles and perspectives, we had established this organization on a belief that if our futures are connected, then we have to work together for peace, security, human rights, and global economic development. We'll have to work together to fulfill these. At that time, there were only 51 countries. Today, 193 sovereign flags fly over this building. Each new country enters on the basis of the same belief and expectation. In the last 60 decades, we have been able to achieve a lot. We have ended many wars. We have established and maintained peace. We have helped in economic development in many places. We have helped in building up a future for the poor children. We have also contributed in removing starvation and have also strived to save the earth. We are all together. The 69 UN peacekeeping mission made Blue Helmet a sign of peace in the world. It was identified as a peace, sign of peace in the world. Today, there is a surge of democracy across the world. In Afghanistan, also, the peaceful democratic transformation shows that the Afghan people's aspiration for peace will definitely triumph over violence. In Nepal, we see that it has come up from war towards peace and democracy. Bhutan, also in the new democracy, we can see there's a new strength there as well. In West Asia and North Africa also, efforts are being made in favor of democracy. In Tunisia, the success shows that this journey of democracy is possible. In Africa, there is stability, for stability, peace, and progress. A new energy and awareness is on the horizon. We have seen unprecedented prosperity in Asia and beyond, on the foundation of which the power of peace and stability are included. Latin America, a continent of enormous potential, is coming together in shared pursuit of stability and prosperity. This continent can prove to be an important foundation and anchor for the global community. India expects a peaceful and stable international atmosphere for its progress. Our future is connected with our neighborhood, and that's why my government gave top priority to friendship and cooperation with our neighboring countries. And towards Pakistan also, I have the same policy. With Pakistan, I want to hold bilateral talks to improve friendship and cooperation in all seriousness and in an atmosphere of peace without a shadow of terrorism. I do want to hold bilateral talks with them. But this is also the duty of Pakistan to come forward and create a appropriate atmosphere and with all seriousness come forward for a bilateral dialogue. And by raising this issue on this front, in this forum, I don't know how serious our efforts will be. And some people are doubtful about it. Today, we need to give help to the flood victims in Kashmir. And in India, we have organized that help at a large scale. And for that, we have not just stopped at helping Kashmir by India only. We have asked Pakistan also to do so because in that area also there was some impact of flood. We told them that just as we are helping the flood victims in India, we would like to help the flood victims in Pakistan as well. We had proposed this, and we are part of the developing country, of the developing world, but with our limited resources, we would like to share our limited resources with all of them who are in dire need of it. On the other hand, today, the world is going through a high level of tension and turmoil. Big wars are not taking place, but there are a lot of tensions and struggles which are to be seen. There is lack of peace, and there is an uncertainty towards the future. Even today, there is poverty rampant all over. An integrating Asia-Pacific region, which is still concerned about maritime security, that is fundamentally important to its future, is concerned about it. Before Europe, there is a new danger of division. In West Asia, the dividing lines and terrorism are increasing. In our own area, in our own region, we are still struggling to fight against terrorism and instability. For the last 4 decades, we have been facing this problem. This danger. Terrorism emerges as in the different new forms and different new names, whether small or big, whether in north or in south, east or in west. No country is free from its danger. I remember when 20 years ago, I used to meet some world leaders, and I used to talk about terrorism. They would not quite understand this, and they said this is a law and order problem. But today, slowly, the entire world is witnessing that how terrorism is spreading all over. But are we really making integrated efforts at international level to fight against these powers? And I know this is a very serious problem, a serious question. Even today, some countries are giving refuge to the international terrorists, and they consider terrorism to be a tool of their policy. Good terrorism and bad terrorism. This is what we hear these days. And at that time, when there is a question mark on our struggle to fight against terrorism, the brutal return of terrorism in West Asia and its impact on countries far and near calls for a concerted effort, and we welcome that. But it is mandatory that there should be participation and support of all countries in this area. If we want to fight against terrorism, then why not everybody contribute towards it? Why not everybody come forward towards it? And why not we request for that and emphasize that? Ocean, sea, space, and cyberspace are, besides being common prosperity, are becoming stages of struggle. Ocean that used to connect us with the same ocean today, we are listening or we are hearing news of disputes of, we used to see space as a potential for our achievements, and cyber, which used to connect us today, in these important areas, new dangers are to be seen for the international harmony, on the basis of which UN was founded, was never needed more than it was needed before. Today, we talk about interdependent world, but has our mutual unity improved? We need to think about it. What are the reasons that at having such a big and good platform like UN, even then, we have been making so many different G organizations. We talk about different Gs today, and their numbers keep changing. Sometimes it is G4 or G7, G20. We keep changing those. And whether we like it or not, we are also part of that, India too. But isn't it time that we move forward from G and move towards G4? And when UN is celebrating 70th anniversary, how do we create an atmosphere of G4? And how can this forum become an opportunity for us to solve all our problems? And how can people start to trust more? And how can it become more competitive? We talk about togetherness, but then we divide into different pieces, and we can save ourselves from doing so. On the one hand, we say that our policies are connected with each other. And on the other hand, we think in terms of zero-sum game. We think, oh, if he benefits, oh, I lose then. Who is in whose benefit and who is in whose loss? These are the standards that we are thinking of and moving forward. The pessimists or critics, like them, if we say nothing is going to change, if somebody says, oh, leave it, you know, nothing is going to change ever, nothing is going to change, nothing can happen. If this kind of pessimism or criticism atmosphere comes up, it's easy to say. But if we really do so, then we are taking the danger of running away from our responsibility. And we are putting our collective future in danger. Let's come together, and we should form ourselves as per the need of the hour. And we should really work for global peace. No one country or one organization of a few countries cannot decide about the world policies. It is very imperative that there should be a real international participation. We should try to have positive dialogue and cooperation with the countries. Our efforts have to start here at the United Nations, to bring improvements and changes in the United Nations Security Council and make it more democratic and participatory is important for us. and keeping the necessities of the 20th century, all the organizations will not prove to be effective in the 21st century. In front of them, there is a danger of becoming irrelevant. And I would like to request that, in accordance with the necessities of last century, the things, the points that we emphasized on, the policies and rules that we made in the 21st century, the times are changing and the speed of change is very fast. It becomes imperative that, in accordance with the time, we formulate ourselves, we change ourselves, we go towards a change, we go for new ideas. And if we can do that, only then we will be relevant. We have to move aside all our differences and make comprehensive and united efforts. And I request that towards this, you should pass the Comprehensive Convention on International Terrorism. This is a pending demand for a long time, and it needs to be emphasized. Against terrorism, our strength to fight against terrorism will be reflected with this. And our country, which has gone through so many terrorism activities, has known that as long as UN does not take the initiative in this, and as long as we do not pass the Comprehensive Convention on International Terrorism, we cannot fulfill that. And in this, once again, in front of everybody here, I would like to say and submit my views. On the outer space and cyberspace also, we want peace, stability, and organization. We have to work together and ensure that all the countries follow international rules and standards. We have to give force to the UN peacekeeping's work, and that country which uses their armies, they have to be also included in our decision-making. By including them in the decision-making, their confidence will go up. And in a very big quantity, they are ready to give sacrifices. They are ready to give their time and energy. But if they are not included in the decision-making, they are kept out of decision-making, then how can we make UN peacekeeping more live and more energetic? This needs to be considered seriously. Today, come and let's make double efforts for global non-disarmament and also make all our efforts to make sure that towards this, we keep our efforts endlessly. For globalization, new industries and new sources of employment have been given birth. But besides that, billions of people are under the shadow of poverty, and there are so many countries here at this time which are going through economic deprivation and are very, with great difficulty, they are saving themselves. And what looks so difficult today was never as difficult in the times before. Technology has made a lot of things possible. And in order to make it available, there has been a lot of reduction in the expenses. If today, in the entire world, because of the expansion of Facebook and Twitter, people can talk of cell phone expansion, then you must believe that development and energization can also be expanded at the same speed. It's possible. It's that every country has to make its own national take its own national efforts, and we have to see that each country has to fulfill its own responsibilities. And besides, international participation is also very important at a level. It means that there should be better coordination of policies so that our efforts can improve our cooperation and make sure that others are not endangered. That's the first condition, that others should not be put in danger. It also means that when we constitute international trade agreements, we have to make sure that we keep in mind others' benefits and their concerns. When we talk about others, today basic sanitation is out of the reach of 2.5 billion people. Today, 1.3 billion people do not even have electricity available. And today, 1.1 billion people do not even have drinking water available. So that makes it clear that at a very organized and comprehensive level, we need to make international efforts. We cannot keep waiting for economic development. In India, in my development agenda, the most important aspects are centered on these issues only. And I agree that in post-2015 development agenda, we should keep these at the center and pay attention to them. We want that there should be livable and sustainable globe, a sustainable world. And we should work on those things. And there are many, many issues on these and many documents that are available. But we see many such things all around us, because of which we should become concerned and alert. And there are many such things we are becoming very concerned, very worried, like forests, animals, birds, rivers, fountains, and the blue sky. I would like to say three things. First, in order to face all the challenges, we should be honest in fulfilling our responsibilities. The world community has accepted this action for community work, and which means common but differentiated responsibility. And this needs to be made the foundation of regular work. It also means that the developed countries have to fulfill their promise for funding and technology transfer. Second, national action is important. Technology has made a number of things possible. For example, renewable energy and technology. What is needed is that we should be committed towards it and we should be creative. India, with its technology and its potential, wants to share it. It's ready to share its technology and potential. And as in the recent times, we had made an announcement for a free orbital. And third thing is that we need to make a change in our lifestyle, where energy has not been used, That is the cleanest energy. And this will give a new direction to our economy. In India, towards nature, we keep nature as a very respectable thing. And we consider it as very pious, as very sacred. And that's part of our ideology. And today, I would like to draw your attention to another thing. When we talk of climate change, we talk about holistic health care. We talk about connecting with nature. And when we talk about back to basics, at that time, today I would like to talk about it specifically, that yoga is an invaluable contribution of our country, of our tradition. Yoga, our heart, our body, our ideology, our actions, everything is a part of our country. And in order to, it's important that we have a coordination between all these. And this is an important perspective for our health and for our welfare. Yoga should not be just an exercise for us, but it should be a means to get connected with the world and with nature. And it should bring a change in our lifestyle and create awareness in us. And it can help in fighting against the climate change. Let's come together and work towards International Yoga Day. And at the end, we are all going through a historic moment. Each century is known by its own speciality. It's defined by its specialty, and each generation is remembered by how it faced its challenges. Today, we have a big responsibility to stand before those challenges. Next year, we will be 70 years old. We will have to ask ourselves, should we wait till that time when we will be 80 or 100 year old? I believe for UN, next year is an opportunity. After a voyage of 70 years, when we see what we've done, where did we start? Why did we leave certain places? Why did we do this? And what was the way that we took? And where did we reach? Where are we supposed to reach? And for the 21st century, what are our challenges? If we keep all of that in mind, and we should have mutual exchange of views, we should have universities together, we should have our generations come and get connected with this, and they should analyze all these new technologies. And they should also give us their new ideas and see how we can connect it to our new generations. And that's why I say that 70 years in itself is a very big opportunity, and we should use it. And by using it, we should come up with a new awareness, with a new life, with a new ambition and aspiration. And we should give this journey of UN a new form. And therefore, I feel that 70 years is a big opportunity for us. Let's come together and fulfill our promise to bring improvements in the UN Security Council. This has been going for a long time, but it hasn't really happened. And we need to think very seriously about it. Come, in the post-2015 development agenda, we should fulfill our promises. Come, for 2015, we should give a new direction and make it memorable, to give the world a new development. And the year 2015 should be a year in the history, as a point in the history for differentiation, and I'm hoping that we all will fulfill this. Thank you very much. Namaskar.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank the Prime Minister of the Republic of India for the statement just made, and I request protocol to escort His Excellency.